May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Douglas Meeks, professor and scholar, tells the story of the time that he escorted President George Bush the Elder on a tour of a particular psychiatric hospital. As the president walked through the hospital halls, he went up to one particular patient and introduced himself and said, "Hello, how are you?" But he didn't say who he was at this point. She responded, "Fine, how are you?" And President Bush then said, "Do you know who I am?" She responded, "No, but if you ask the nurse at the desk, she will tell you." That's a true story. Most of us spend a significant time of our lives striving to claim our identity, to know who we are. I've spent 51 years trying to do that, both within the human race and in particular as Christians. And what we often confuse in our humanness is the profound difference between earthly aspirations and heavenly goals that Christ emphasized. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't take long to realize that it is fundamentally an invitation to claim a radically different identity than the secular model. Today's gospel is the very familiar story of the parable of the five talents. Jesus begins it by saying, "Let me tell you a story." It's as if a man is going on a journey, and so he brings together those who work for him, and he gives one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, each according to their abilities. And he entrusts them with his talents, with his fortune, with his resources. And this parable of our Lord, at its core, is a teaching about the expectation that God has for us to take that which we have been given and multiply it for the kingdom of God. To use our gifts, our abilities, our financial treasure for the purposes of God through Jesus Christ. "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And the master says to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave." The kingdom of God was at the center of Jesus' life and mission. And what Jesus was effectively teaching was the character, the compassion, the yearning of God for God's people. Jesus was a teacher of wisdom. However, not the wisdom that you and I would think of initially, that would come to mind. The wisdom that comes with age, which I believe does happen. The wisdom that comes with intellect. This was not that kind of a wisdom. It was rather a wisdom of how one is called by God to live out the central questions that we all have about this journey of life. And it was the same questions that those who stood around Jesus in a very different historical and cultural context had. They too were wondering, "What is my life about? Where is there meaning in my life? What is the way?" they said to Jesus. "How shall we live?" In the early part of the 20th century, a writer by the name of William George Jordan wrote the following words: "Real success in life means the individual's conquest of him or herself. It means how he or she has bettered him or herself, not how he or she has bettered their fortune. He concludes, the great question of life is not what have I, but what am I? And our question should be, who are we in the eyes of God? Have you ever reflected upon that? Who am I in God's eyes? And Christ taught his disciples that there was a new way of living. There was a dream that God had for God's people. And this was how they were to strive to live. Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who several times I have had the pleasure in my ministry of meeting, in a wonderful book called God Has a Dream, has written the following words. It is a dream of a world whose ugliness and squalor and poverty, its war and hostility, its greed and harsh competitiveness, its alienation and disharmony are changed into their glorious counterparts when there will be more laughter, joy, peace, where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring and sharing. This is God's dream. And it should be our dream as well. It would be very easy and correct for us to hear this gospel story and to say it is a gospel or a parable about how we use our money. The church is very clever, the larger church. The lectionary today appointed, and the lectionary's readings that we hear throughout the worldwide church, because you know we share a common lectionary. If you were in a Methodist or a Catholic church or a Lutheran church today, you very well would hear this text or one very similar to it or close to it. It is about money. And it is, stewardship time. And that's part of why they have it come in this cycle. But I want to push you even past that. Because we know that money was central to Christ's teachings. We know that Jesus spoke about money more than anything else in the Gospels, even more than love, or the use of one's resources is the way that Christ talked about it. And I have now, in my life, and I'm sure in yours, I can't understand why some in the world seem to be given this incredible gift of generosity. We hear about these multimillionaires or billionaires that give away their fortune, this great philanthropy, and we say, what is it that calls them to that? And we know of others who hoard their fortune and die with their fortune. There's something about God's grace in all of that, as to who God blesses with that. But in this passage, although Jesus was challenging them about that, he was more fully putting forth an incredibly new way of living in the kingdom of God. A kingdom that Jesus had already told them, it's here, it's in this room, it's in our midst. We're experiencing it right now in this church. And he said to them, if it's true, how then should you live? If the kingdom of God is in our midst, how then should you live? If you are truly created in the image of God, imago Deo, God created them male and female. He created them in the image of God. Then we are to be God-like. We are to reflect God's character, God's passion, God's justice. They can't be separate. So it is with us. And what Jesus was saying is that this passion, this devotion, the way that you invest your talents is an indicator of our character. in the eyes of God. What do we do with what God has blessed us with in its totality? The gifts that God has given you as a human being. Your God-given gifts, not just your financial resources, all of who you are, your talents, your abilities. Now, the mindset and economy of secular society, especially in these difficult times that we're living in, would always have us operate out of a scarcity mentality. It was just as true then as it is now, one which causes us to bury our talents. That's what that poor last person gave. Now, one of the things we sometimes miss in that gospel, which is very subtle, is that the landowner, if you will, the master, who was metaphorically God, and the slaves, metaphorically, not language we would use, us, he gave them each according to their abilities. So that poor last person only got one, which would lead you to believe didn't have as much ability, didn't have as much gifts, and he was the poor person that then buried it because he was fearful, or she was fearful that she couldn't give it back or he couldn't give it back. And Jesus is saying, don't operate like that. Do not operate like that. It sounds harsh when he says to that slave, you wicked and lazy slave. It sounds extremely harsh, but it is instead a powerful invitation to claim your identity in the kingdom of God. What has God blessed you with? How can you use the talents that God has given you in your family, with your friends, in this community of Versailles, Lexington, Frankfort, Columbia, Midway, wherever you find yourself? How can you use that talent here at St. John's to multiply it for the kingdom of God? This is an identity where we live our lives investing the talents that God has given us to make multiple impacts on the lives of others. It is a lot for us to consider. And that's just what we're being asked to consider today. Amen.